Psalm 23. It is a passage that I have probably preached on the most in my life. I just did a quick search on my computer. In the past 10 years, I have preached probably 85 sermons just on Psalm 23. They are typically memorial services. And I typically start with, these are words to live by, not words to die by. And I was telling the residents earlier this week, I am so excited to preach Psalm 23 as a part of worship. If you want to talk to one of the residents, Macy, she has the scarf around her neck. She loves her some Psalm 23. So she could talk for hours about Psalm 23 with you. And I think that's a part of this psalm, is if you are deeply connected to your faith, or if you come to church every so now and again, you at least recognize Psalm 23. You've at least heard somebody talk about Psalm 23. When I used to work out much more often than I do now, there was a time in my workout class where we'd do a plank, right? And our instructor would tell us to sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, and I would use the opportunity to say Psalm 23 or the Lord's Prayer. And it's really how I got to know Psalm 23 deep in my core. Yeah, okay. Just seeing if y'all are paying attention. Let us pray. In the silence of the stars, in the rolling of the hills, in the heaving of the sea, we see you, Lord. In the voice of a friend, in the words of a stranger, in the chatter of a child, we hear you, Lord. In the calming of our minds and the longing of our hearts, we feel you, Lord. Allow me to move aside and let your words be spoken. Amen. I want to direct you to the stained glass. For Psalm 23, what I want to really, really talk about tonight is that this is scripture to live by. And I want to look at the verbs in this scripture. Makes, leads, restores, comfort, prepare, and follow. It's like an instruction booklet to what to expect from God. And this really helps in one of the most unique ways I've seen depict this scripture. We have from the darkness to the restoration in the center. It also weaves in some of the gospel of the narrow path right here. And there's no table per se, right, in this stained glass, but you can see the beauty that God has prepared. So let's just start at the beginning. In verses 1 and 2, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. So just in this first section, he makes me, he leads me, he restores me. My parents have a wonderful story about me as a child that I really hope they're watching, that I'm sharing tonight. So I didn't like taking naps. Frankly, I didn't like being told what to do. And in this scripture, it starts with, he makes me lie down beside still waters. Because do we ever want to stop? Not really. My Sunday afternoon nap has become an important part of my life. But typically, in my routine, I like to go. And there was a time when I was probably, 3, 4, 5, let's hope I grew out of it by six, that I refused to take a nap. And my mom would hold the door closed, so I would stay in my room, and I would probably, I'm assuming, beat said door, and then fall asleep right at the edge of the door, so that my mom said it would take her 30 minutes to inch the door slowly to move me so that she could pick me up and place me in bed. Psalm 23, in some ways, starts with our Lord God saying, lie down. Lie down in these green pastures. Notice the still waters so that you can be restored. I know it's kind of silly to equate it to a three-year-old, but sometimes in our prayer life and in our faithful life, we should be childlike, and in that childlike nature, sometimes we need to be told what to do. And here it is, stopping. And I want to ask you this question. Who is leading you in your life? For that's the beginning of this scripture. Who's directing you? Who's leading you? And it goes quickly to verse 4. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So in this, I think about the word comfort. And I think about that waterfall right there. We're not quite to being restored, but this is where God is with us in our darkest valleys. I'm not going to look any single one of you in the eyes and tell you that life's going to be easy and perfect and simple. Frankly, life is going to be joyful and complicated. It's going to be horrific and amazing. It's going to be full of absolutely beautiful moments, and it's going to be full of moments that hit you in your gut. And this scripture reminds us again that he's leading us, that he is with us. And this next part really got me this week. So he leads us through these dark times. Let's just imagine these dark times could be complicated by a relationship, maybe somebody that you would refer to as an enemy. And what does God do? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. It wasn't until this week, y'all, I've preached it probably 80 times. I've said it before that God prepares a table for you. Let's be generous. Let's prepare a way for one another. No. God prepares a table of you with your enemies. And he anoints my head with oil, and my cup overflows. You see, the shepherd is who feeds us. And the shepherd is who gives us peace, even when sitting next to your enemy. Your enemy may not be a human. Your enemy may be cancer. Your enemy may be anxiety. Your enemy may be fear. Your enemy might be 24-hour news. And God is sitting next to you with that, anointing you with oil. And it says, my cup overflows. And then the very end. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is where I want to spend a little bit more time. So we've walked with the Lord. We started by taking a nap and resting and waking up restored. Then he's leading us through our past. Some are high, some are valleys, and we are comforted. Then we come to this table where we look around and we think it's going to be our college besties, and it's our enemies, and yet we feel peace and wholeness because we see who's beside us. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. There's 3 points I want to make about this. And one is that in Scripture, we see it time and time again. We start with God pursuing us in the garden, right? God walking with us. This psalm reminds us of the constant pursuit, the daily pursuit that God gives us, that God seeks for us. This pursuit, though, in Hebrew, it really, in English, it just kind of feels like simple, like casual, to pursue. I'm going to pursue a career. I'm going to pursue something. In Hebrew, if you really get into it, it's like chasing. Okay? The words radaf, I might be saying it right, I might be saying it wrong, but pursue, to chase, to run after. My favorite definition is to overtake. That God isn't just walking next to you, holding hands as in some field of roses and lilacs and daisies. God is overtaking you. Sounds kind of aggressive, yet it also sounds pretty amazing. I want God to overtake me. I want my heart to be fully generated, thoughtful, produced, given to God. And then at the very end of this passage, we talk about love. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And in this is a covenant. This goodness and mercy is really about a covenant of love. We don't really have that, but the surely goodness and mercy could be translated into surely goodness and the covenant of love of God, which isn't a rom-com love. It is a steadfast love. It also can be translated into a loving kindness, which is sometimes where the word, instead of mercy, you'll hear kindness in there. It's a faithful love. Makes, leads, restores, comforts, prepares, and follows me, you. I'm going to say those words again, and I want you at the, I'm going to pause, and I want you to say your name, okay? So, for example, it would be makes Kim, okay? Makes, leads, restores, comforts, prepares, follows for you. Isn't that amazing? And honestly, there's not much you can do to separate yourself from this covenantal love that God is overtaking or pursuing you. This psalm is a psalm of comfort. It's a psalm of hope. But honestly, I do believe, as I've preached 80-something times, it keeps getting bigger. You see how preachers do that? It is a psalm to live by. To be reminded who God is supposed to be in our life. Who we should be seeking each and every day. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Each and every day. Your good days, your bad days. The darkest valleys are not left for you to navigate. You see, even in that first stained glass, there is light. There is hope. There is Christ. My cup overflows. You've heard this analogy from me. If there was a bingo card as a pastor, this would be on it for me. But if I was carrying a cup right now of hot tea and somebody banged into me, what would spill out? Come on. Hot tea. Okay, we're going to do it again. If I was carrying a cup of coffee of coffee and somebody jumped into me, what would spill out? Coffee. Will Tiller. He said hot tea. Coffee. If somebody runs into me in the hallway at work, what's going to spill out? If I am walking my dog and I see my neighbor, or I don't see my neighbor, what's going to spill out? As God is pursuing us and overtaking our hearts, what's going to spill out is the goodness, the love, the mercy of God. Because that is how God has ordered our life. So each and every day this week, I want you to look at these words. Makes, leads, restores, comforts, prepares, and follows you. Know that it is true. Know that this is celebrating the divine shepherd, but also reminding us of who God is to each and every single one of us. So as you go out this week, know that you are surrounded, you are pursued by God's love and mercy. So that when somebody bumps into you, your cup is overflowed. You notice it's in there. It's overflowed with the love and the grace and the hope that comes through Christ. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, as we go out this week, let us be reminded that you are walking with us. There may be days that you restore us. There may be days that you protect us. There may be days that you prepare for us. And there may be a day that you do all of that before 10 o'clock. What I want us to know the most is how you are constantly working in our lives. Let our hearts be reminded of it. Let our eyes see it. Let our mouths speak it. So when then others ask what's different about them, we can respond that God has prepared a way for me and for you. We say this in your holy and precious name. Amen.